Anyway, so we're always looking for strategies, inspiration, ideas to strengthen bitochen. We've more than established that bitochen is a double-edged benefit. The benefit of influencing the turn of events in our favor, and of granting us a menuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind, a tranquility, the ability to be at peace with ourselves and the world around us until such turn of events take place. We're always looking for opportunities to strengthen that. I thought that Purim is really the ideal opportunity for us to strengthen bitochen, in that it carries with it the two most critical ingredients of a true sense of bitochen. The two most critical ingredients in bitochen are, number one, surprisingly, believe it or not, fear. The pasuk says, "Biyiras Hashem mivtach ois." In the strength, in Yiras Hashem, lies in fear of Hashem lies the strength of bitochen. We've discussed that, and basically, what that really means is that bitochen is not achieved in a state of beginning tranquility. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not focused on bitochen. To realize that I need bitochen to maintain everything to be fine is a far. It's a bit far. It's remote for many of us. Because, what do you mean? Everything's fine. I got plenty of money in the bank. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's well. Everything's going well. So, you know, you don't think in those terms. So fear is a major and critical stimulant of bitochen. Oh, I got a problem. Ooh. Now I got to really come on to the Rebbeinu Shalom. I really got to focus my reliance on him. The Briskarov's famous marshal is, we've mentioned that, I'm sure, that the person's walking along and someone's behind him with a gun pulled. Now, he's walking in peace, he has bitochen. If he doesn't know that the other guy has a gun, he's not having bitochen. He doesn't have a problem. What's going on?
He doesn't know.
What? He doesn't know. Elamai, the guy has the gun, I'm ready to shoot, and he's still fine, everything's fine, I'm relying on Hashem, nothing to worry about. That's real bitochen. So fear is one ingredient. Second ingredient is the ability to rise above the fear and to not let the fear cripple. And I believe that Purim supplies us both of those in a very special, strong way. Let me explain. In terms of the fear, the fear was the ultimate fear. Lahashmid laroi gulabed. There can't be any fear greater than that. Destruction, not just of a few people here and there, of the whole Klal Yisrael. Minarvat zokein taf v'noshim b'yoyim echod. Phew! That's it. Annihilation. Complete annihilation of the Jewish nation. That's something to be afraid of. That was something that was very serious. And it was seriously presented because it was nechta b'tabas ha-melech. The something that's nechta betabas hamelech ein lo hoshiv, can't be retracted. So it's just like the fear was real. The stakes were high. The stakes were the highest that they could possibly be. So the fear and therefore the motivation to have bitochen was great. The problem is as follows: when fear, which is the ultimate motivator to bitochen, because without it we don't really access bitochen, we're just, you know, everything's okay. How do you draw the line between a fear that will motivate and a fear that will overwhelm? Oh, I'm so afraid. Oh, I give up. I can't. I'm panicking. How do you keep that balance? If you need the fear to get to bitochen, but how do you tell the fear when to stop? Right here, stop. So you should inspire bitochen, but not interfere with it. Because fear could become so overwhelming that I just throw in the towel. It's crippling. That's right. It can destroy you. I think that Purim gives us a very optimistic message in this vein. Why? Because you have a story that at the time of the fear, at the time of the gzeira, at the time of the imminent annihilation of the Jewish people, there was in process from maybe 12 years before a sequence of events behind the scenes, not be known to anyone as really orchestrating this, that was orchestrating the salvation, the Yeshua, years before the problem ever began. Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim refua koydim lamako. He gives us a refua even before the mako comes. And that's very interesting. So here you have, in Purim, you had a maisa with Vashti, you had a maisa with Esther, you had a maisa with overhearing Big Summer Seresh, and Bechule. And all of it over a period of a decade or more, leading up to the salvation, which was ready to happen even before the threat and the danger set in. And if we realize that there is such a thing, so I have a problem. The problem is overwhelming. The fear is starting to paralyze me. I want to access that bitochon, but it's too dire, it's too dismal, it's too desperate, it's impossible. It can't be. What? Wait a minute. Do you know that this problem may have been in the process of revolution for the last 10 years? Well, I didn't see it. Neither did anybody at the time of Mordechai and Esther. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what was happening. And finally, when the Gzeirah came about, there was already in place the mechanism to deal with it. And that's something that has to give us the strength to balance that fear. Yes, I need a little bit of a kick in the pants to have bitochen. If I don't have anything to be afraid of, I don't feel that bitochen. But mitzat sheni, I have something to help counterbalance that fear, because now I have this sense that, you know, everything's going to be okay. Why? Not because, well, but it's impossible. What do you mean? It may appear impossible, but if you could pull up the curtain and see what has been going on for the longest time now to prepare the resolution to this problem even before it began, that gives me a different perspective. That's something that could mitigate and control and allow me to maintain my equilibrium and allow the fear to motivate rather than to debilitate. So I think that's a very, very critical lesson that we can learn from Purim. The truth of the matter is, we really describe this every day. We say in Shachris, in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoyrea Tzedokois Matzmiach Yeshuois. Tzedokah, the Goyin says, the Lashon of Tzedokah refers to giving us beyond what we deserve. And that's really what Bitochen is. Because if I deserve it, there's no need for Bitochen, I'm going to get what I deserve anyway. Teretz says Bitochen is the negotiation, so to speak, and the influence to try to get beyond, even if I don't deserve it. Even though Sheva Gora Machet, but I want to get beyond it, and I want to say, hey, I need it anyway. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoyrea Tzedokos. He plants this tzedek. He plants this midah of giving us even beyond what we deserve. And then he's Matzmiach Yeshuas. Matzmiach Yeshuas means he sprouts the Yeshua. What does that mean? What's a sprout? Is underneath the ground, this has been developing. We have not seen it. And it's almost fully developed. When it sprouts out, it didn't just hit the ground and develop at that point. It has developed underneath it. Now it's just coming forth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. He's Zerea Tzedokos, who knows when. There were tzedokos that were nizra oy misheshes mebereshes. There were tzedokos that were nizra from the times of the Ovois. There were tzedokos that were nizra from the times of the Midbar, from the times of the Golos, from the suffering of the Golos, from the Holocaust, from who knows, from my great grandfather. And then, at the right moment, when there's a need for a Yeshua, all of a sudden, there's a sprout. It sprouts forth. If we could look at Yeshua as something that has to sprout, rather than something that has to be created, yesh me'ayin, the ability to have bitochon would be so much less, would be so much better, so enhanced. The overpowering power of this fear would be mitigated. Because what do you mean? Look, I really can't see under the ground. Or maybe take a shovel and dig a little bit deeper, and maybe you will see it. You know, it's there. It's there. And that's really what Purim taught us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoreya Tzedokos, and that he did years before. And that eventually sprouts out as Matzmiach Yeshuos. So I thought that was a very, very pertinent lesson in terms of the inspiration to be tochum, because when we stand in a situation of fear, we need some rational possibilities to calm the fear. It's not enough to say unless will take place. That's not really what it means. Ein soimcha unless doesn't mean nisim don't take place. It means do your hishtadlus. But psychologically, we think unless a miracle. First of all, I'm not deserving of a miracle. And second of all, miracles don't happen every day. The miracles that happen in Mitzrayim, this is going to need a nest like a Kriyas Yamsuf. Kosha Zivuga Shalom Kriyas Yamsuf. Kosha Parnasosa Shalom Kriyas Yamsuf. These things are not this. Sometimes we're in a bind where we're going to need a Kriyas Yamsuf, such a miracle. So, no, it's not true. Because very often, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zerea Tzedokos. I don't deserve the miracle. A tzedek means the goyin says beyond what I deserve. I don't deserve the miracle. But he plants this tzedek, this kindness that's undeserved, many years before. The whole process of development and growth and readiness to sprout. And then all of a sudden, at the right moment, it sprouts out. And that can allow me to bypass the fact that I need a blatant miracle, because in reality, it could be right under the surface. And secondly, the fact that I feel so unworthy of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoreya Tzedokos. That's what it is. That's one of his midos. He likes to plant the seeds of undeserved chesed to be able to sprout out at the right time. And this is something that he does specifically for a Baal Bitochon. So the Baal Bitochon shouldn't become overwhelmed by the fear. In fact, he should be energized to move to Bitochon and not to be paralyzed by it, because in reality, it's very likely, very possibly, a step in the right direction, something that's happening behind the scenes. Now, to take this one step further, and this is like, again, we're looking for psychological tools to calm the nerves of this Baal Bitochon.
Are you supposed to look and...
What's that?
In other words, while he's going through it, in order to calm the fear and keep the equilibrium leveled, is he supposed to look for these?
Sure. We need that. We need a scenario. You know, listen, you know, just the fact that he could have done it. You know, let him do like this. Purim! Look what happened on Purim. My situation isn't more dire than Homon's Lahashmid Largul Abe. And yet, 12 years before, I think it says, all of this was in the process to make it happen. If that's the precedent that we have in history, that's not just the precedent we have in history. That's just that we celebrate that every year, so we shouldn't forget it. We relive it every year. So it shouldn't be just a piece of historical information that gets buried under the piles of history books. But this is what we live. And the truth of the matter is that this has been our reality in the Golos, our reality in the Golos has been that we've been on the brink of annihilation so many times, and just when everything seems dire and finished, that's when it starts again. I think the Marsho says that the inyan, that was the inspiration that was supposed to get with Kiddush Lavona, is because the Klal Yisrael is Nimshala Lavona. We're compared to the Lavona. The Lavona is so small, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it reaches its fullness. And when it reaches that fullness, all of a sudden, it starts to diminish. And it's a cycle that goes on every single month. Diminish. Now it slivers away and it seems like it's gone forever. Pick your eyes up the next night and look in the sky and you see that sliver again. That it started again. It started again, all over again, the cycle. That's Klal Yisrael. We go from small to big and then we sliver away. And just when it seems that they've ended it for us, it's all over, and that's the end of Jewish history, just look up and you'll see it starting all over again. And that's the inspiration that we have to have. That we look, that's been our history. And Purim has been a graphic and dramatic example of how undeserving. And we were undeserving. We're undeserving what they did at that time with the Chilul Hashem. That was serious stuff. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is Re'at Tzedokos. But I want to take this one step further, and that is as follows. The Mishnah says, "Atzoyek l'shovah harezu tefila shov." If you pray for something that already happened, it's tefila shov. You use the lashon shov v'sheker. You don't really mean it. It's vain. It's nothing. It's empty because, you know, it happened. If it happened, it happened. So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara says there was a mice with Hillel HaZokain that and the Mishnah's case is Bor Baderech, and you hear Kol Svocha, they're screaming, yelling, a tragedy took place, a house is burning, whatever. You shouldn't say he wrote Shloi HaBetech Beisi. Oy, Hashem, please make it should be my house. Because if it is, it is. It's too late. Then the Gemara goes on and says, Ton Rabon, Maisa Behil HaZokain. This is Daf Samach, I think, of an Aleph in Brochus. Maisa Behil HaZokain. That Bo Baderech, the Koma Shoma Kol Svocha, same case. The Omar, Botuach Ani Shein Zeh B'toich Beisi. I am Botuach, I'm Bitochen, it's not at my house. And the Gemara gives a posuk Mishmor Lo Yiro that he had a right to do such a thing for. Okay, now the Meiri clearly learns. He says, "What should he have done? If he couldn't be mispal, he wrote some shleiv tebeis. He could have done one of two things: either he wrote saying that they should be saved, that was the first thing, or to have bitochen that it's not in his house. And clearly, he's talking about after he hears about the fire." Now, if you would have told me, well, when Hillel traveled every day, he bought this travel insurance before he left, and he says, "I'm going to have bitochen that nothing's going to happen to my family," and that's why he had bitochen when he heard about it. You know, I knew I had bitochen the whole trip. The Meiri doesn't learn like that. Could be that's a pshat too in the Gemara, but the Meiri says, no. Now he should either be mispal, they should be saved, or have bitochen that's not his house. You just told me if it is, and there's nothing I can do about it, it's a tefillah shovish eker. Then it says, bitochen has a power to change the reality. Now, how do you understand that? I don't know. Could be, the easiest way to understand it is, and that would be applicable to our situation too, is the Rabbeinu Shalom knows who his Baal Bitochen is and when the Baal Bitochen is going to access that Bitochen. And he makes sure, since he knows that Hillel is going to reach that level of Bitochen, that it can't be disappointed. He says, the Meiri's Loshen is, HaBetech B'Hashem Ein Toicheles Shaloi Nichsevo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, his hoping will not be disappointed. Will not be disappointed. So he knows that Hillel is going to be this Baal Bitochen. Therefore, he makes it that Hillel's house doesn't burn. However he does it, I don't know. But in the Meiri, it says that a person who hears about this terrible tragedy can still have bitochen that it shouldn't, that he's, I'm sure it's not my house. And that works. It's legitimate. So the same thing over here. That a person can, the situation seems dire. The Baal Bitochen can be batuach, and what happened is Hashem knows that he's going to have Bitochen and makes things happen. But over here, that could explain why he was Zorea Tzedokos. Who is he Matzmiach Yeshuas for? Not for everybody, but for the Baal Bitochen. If you'll ask the question, if this Zaria, the planting of the Tzedokos, happened 10 years earlier, so how's that? Now, his Bitochen now is going to affect the planting 10 years earlier? That's exactly what the Meiri says. How it works, I don't know. Maybe it works because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who's going to reach the level of Bitochen. He knows everything before time, backwards and forwards, yesterday and tomorrow, it's all the same in his world. Memela, he says, listen, I'm now going to be Zerea Tzedokos for this person who's going to maintain his Bitochen, and because of that, will be Matzmiach the Yeshuas. So that may be how the system works, but either way, this is a reality, and I think that the Purim story can give us such a chizuk in that, because I have a big problem. You know something? It's very likely, because Hashem, and if I have Bitochen, then Hashem for sure is going to make it happen. How could it be? It's so dire and dismal and desperate, you need such a ness. No! Who says you need such a ness? The ness was in the process. It's been going on behind the scenes. It's not one blatant splitting of the Yam Suf or Machas Bechiris. It's a historic process just been taking place by Hester Ponim. And that's really the lesson from the Megillah. They say that, I've heard from him too, I don't remember, that Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, we say in Hallel, Shuvi nafshi limnuchoichi, ki Hashem gomal aloichi. Return, my nefesh, to your state of tranquility, to your state of menucha, because Hashem has already bestowed upon you the good. So he asked the question. He says, why do you have to tell your nefesh to calm down because the good has already happened? If the good happened already, he calms down. It must be the good didn't happen, that's why he's not calm. So what's going on over here? See, he says like this. He says, he did it already. Ki Hashem gomal aloichi, it's done. Gomal is loshen ovar. He did it. The only thing is, you know what? It's in the mail. It didn't arrive yet.
It didn't sprout up
yet? It didn't sprout yet. The same idea. It's in the mail. It was done. It was taken care of. It was sent out. It's going to arrive. It's timed. It's accurately orchestrated. Just be patient. Shuvi nafshi limnuchoichi. Calm down. Hashem kvar gomal oloichi. He took care of it already. It's just in the process. And the timing is his, and he knows the proper timing, and he will assure that that this take place.
What's the lashon of Zerea Tzedakos? Isn't that for somebody who's even not a Baal Bitochen, even somebody who doesn't deserve
it? That's what I'm suggesting. There's such a concept. It works two ways. He's Zerea Tzedakos and Matzmiach Yeshuas. Now, there are people that are worthy of the Yeshua just by dint of their tefillah, by dint of their tzidkis, and so he's Zerea Tzedakos, Matzmiach Yeshuas. But that applies even for those who are not worthy, because he's Zerea Tzedakos, and I know that when you rise to the level of Bitochen, even though otherwise you may not be worthy, you may even be a Rosha Ubateach Bashem, which also helps. Mm-hmm. So now he's Matzmiach Yeshuas based on the Zerea Tzedakos, even though you didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. So Tzedakos means, Tzedakos is not only for you. First of all, who really deserves it completely? But Zerea Tzedakos it includes those people that really don't even deserve it, you know. And if someone deserves it, maybe it's easier. Maybe it doesn't have to happen in that way, but there's always... I don't think Tzedakos means to the Midah, I guess what it means is Zerea Tzedakos, it means to include all people, even those that are not deserving. I just wanted one more thing before we conclude, that we say on, Esther said on Purim when she went, there's a minute to say it on Tainus Esther, and Purim, and that's Chof Beis. Lametzeach Aliyos Hashachar Mizmor LeDavid. And Esther says, this is what Esther said on the way into Achashverosh. Keili, keili, loma azavtoni, rochoik mishuosi, divrei shagosi. It says, I call out to Hashem, keili, keili, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my Yeshua seems my words of crying. I'm crying out, and the Yeshua seems so far. Far, rochik mishuosi, far from the Yeshua seems the way. In other words, the Yeshua is far away, and my words of crying seem so far away from the Yeshua. Now, I think this is a very interesting imagery, because there's another piece over here. Esther wasn't saying that. Here, look, it says the next one. Okay, ekro yoimam v'loy sane, v'layla v'loy dumioli. Yeah. I call out by day, you don't answer. In other words, she is not saying that she is not, that she doesn't believe there'll be an answer. She's not saying you don't answer me. Loma azavtoni, what's the azavtoni? Why do I feel forsaken? Because of the distance. I believe it's going to happen. I feel it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's just, it seems so remote. And sometimes that's the method that we can strengthen our bitochen. I look to the future and say, listen, Hashem is Zorea Tzedokos. He's Matzmiach Yeshuas. I can believe that something's going to happen. But right now, I need it now. There's a window. It's closing. It's the 11th hour. It's all over. It's, yeah, I know, you know, like that's going to happen. But what's going to be right now? No. So he says, Rocha Yeshuosi Divrei Shagosi. He says, yeah, I call out, you don't answer me. V'ato kodesh yoyishev tehilos Yisrael. But you are that one who is so muktash. And by the way, we say, niktash pitztoko. You sit on the tehilos Yisrael, constantly praising you. And then, b'chobotchu aviseinu, botchu v'atfalteinu, elecha zo'aku v'dimlotu, chobotchu v'loi goishu. He says, our fathers trusted in you, and you saved them. They cried out to you, and they were redeemed. They trusted you, and they weren't embarrassed. So Esther seems to be expressing here this trying to strengthen her bitochen. She's going, she's on the way into Achashverosh. She says, Keli, keli, lo mazavtoni. Why azavtoni? Have I forsaken you? Well, because I believe I could see the Yeshua, but it seems so far away. I need it right now. It doesn't seem to be imminent. I'm going in. They usually kill people who go in uninvited. And he said, and I called to you. We've been davening for 3 days. Nothing happened yet. Nothing happened yet. And now I'm going on a suicide mission. So, but then she says, "Ato kodesh yoshev tehilos Yisrael." He says, "But you sit on the tehilos Yisrael." In other words, Klal Yisrael has never lost focus on who you are and what you do. And then she says, "B'chobotchu abiseinu, b'chobotchu, botchu v'atfaltim." They trusted in you, and you saved them. They called out for you, and they trusted you, and they weren't embarrassed. In the Meila, she was mechazik herself that, yes, I can have that bitochen. So it's bitochen is a process. It's work. It's effort. It isn't, there's no button. There's no simple thing. There's the fear that leads to the trust. There's the balance that focuses the Zorea Tzedokos Matzmiach Yeshuas, so the fear can't be overwhelming. And then there's this sense when I do cry out to Hashem, and it seems to be desperate. They fasted 3 days. The gzeira was beyond anything. It couldn't be rescinded. It's lahashmid laugel abed. But I go into he says, rochoik mishuosi divrei shagosi. They see my words of cry seem far away. In other words, I can envision something, but it seems so remote. And then she strengthened herself and says, no. If you have bitochin, then nothing is remote. If you have bitochin, then that which seems so remote. In other words, I could see, well, Homan, okay. Homan could have a downfall, but you know how that would have to happen? There'd have to be an army, would have to come and invade Persia and topple Achashverosh, and then Homan's go, it's rochot mishuosi divrei shagosi. Not true. To the Baal Bitochin, he accesses this Reatzadokas Matzmiyah Shuis.